Everything changes when Jesus becomes Lord of your life. Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Balchapel explains what it means to have new life in Christ.
We all fall short of the glory of God. I don't deserve heaven, but God sent His Son to pay for my sin. I should have suffered on that cross, but Jesus, God's Son, took my place. And when I trust Jesus Christ as Savior, I am justified. And now I can have entrance into heaven, not because I deserve it, but because God is righteous in letting the sinner off because of what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary.
The single most important event in a person's life is the new birth. Yet this is also one of the most neglected doctrines in the church. In our series, New Life Today, we'll discover what happens when a Christian becomes born again. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Balchapel, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. Living for God is not only our sacred privilege as Christians, but it is the most fulfilling, rewarding life possible. In the heart of every Christian, God has placed a compelling desire to live for Him. And now, here's Dr. Balchapel with part one of a message called The Faithfulness of God.
Last week, we got a glimpse into the foreknowledge of God, the Greek word progenosko. It taught us that God sees before and God knows before, and He has a will for the life of the believer even before we are saved. It is His plan that we would conform to the image of His Son, Romans chapter 8 and verse 29. And ultimately, it is His plan that we will be glorified together with Him in heaven. And one of the great things about this journey of growth called the Christian life is that not only can we look forward to our ultimate glorification, but also that along the way of the Christian life, as we conform to the image of Christ, that He is for us, and He is with us, and He is faithful to us, even when we're not as faithful as we should be, that God is always there and always faithful. Sometimes we may feel alone. Sometimes we may feel outnumbered. But I want you to know today that in Christ, you and I are on the winning side. Now, one of my favorite hymns is that hymn we sang a moment ago, Great is Thy Faithfulness. Thomas Chisholm wrote it after the Civil War. He had been through a tremendous difficulty in his life with his health. He was a pastor who was told he could no longer preach. And I can tell you personally that there would be a tremendous heartache in that. There would be a tremendous sorrow in being a called preacher, told that you could not preach. And as his health began to wind down, and as his life, in some respects, people viewed as a miserable life, he wrote the words to the song, Great is Thy Faithfulness, because he learned that no matter what you experience in life, God is always there. He is always working on our side. And we come to verse 31 this morning, and as the summary is given to these last three chapters, the Holy Spirit asks, what shall we say then to these things? And He's speaking about the things that we have been learning in the previous verses regarding the working of the Holy Spirit, for there is no new life today without the working of the Holy Spirit. And we learn here in verse 9 of our chapter that the Holy Spirit indwells the believer. And we learn in verse 16 that the Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit. We learned in verse 26 that the Holy Spirit helps us in our time of weakness, that He bears up our infirmities. And we learned in verse 30 that God's Holy Spirit has a plan for our lives. And all of these verses prove to us three great truths that we're going to discover today. All of these point to the fact that God favors His children, that God forgives His children, and that God is faithful to His children. And I want you to see this with me today as we learn about the nature and the faithfulness of our God. Notice, first of all, the favor of our God. The Bible says in verse number 31, if God be for us, who can be against us? Let's say that together. If God be for us, who can be against us? Now, here we see the favor of God. God is for His children. In fact, we see the word if and It is not a statement of doubt. In fact, you could also say in this verse, since God is for us. Psalm 118 in verse 6, the Lord is on my side, I will not fear what man can do to me. Since God is for us, God is for his children. Now, I know that every parent here is for your children. I think of our four children, and we pray for them. We prayed before they were married for their spouses. We've prayed for their healing. We've prayed for them to walk with God. We pray for our grandchildren. And I'll tell you what, you ever get around some of these parents when their children are playing sports, you know what side they're on. They are for their children. You're for your children, and you should be. But imagine, as much as we are for our children, that there is a God in heaven who simply says to us today, I am for you. I am on your side. I don't know about you, but I find great comfort in that, that he favors his children. He not only favors his children, he not only is for us, but he will guide his children. I want you to see this. Secondly, God guides his children. If God be for us, then who can be against us? Now, God may at times guide us into trials. And it is during those trials that sometimes the devil says, where's your God? Sometimes an atheistic person might say, what about God when these trials come? And the Bible records for us many who experience trials. Joseph was sold into slavery, and we read of Daniel who was persecuted, and those that were thrown in, the three Hebrew children, into the fiery furnace. And we read of our Lord Jesus himself, forsaken and crucified on the cross. Yet we understand that all of this is according to the foreknowledge of God. It's according to the sovereignty of God. 1 Peter 1 and 6 says, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. Sometimes God says that these trials are needful. He allowed them in the life of Job for a reason. God may allow trials, but God always has power over the trials. He will never try us above that which we are able. All of the fiery trials are Father filtered. God has a purpose and a plan. Last Sunday night, we were learning about the Apostle Paul and how he was there in the Mamertine prison in Rome. And if you were to go to the Roman Colosseum and come down through the Forum, the shopping area, the governance area of Rome, you would come to a place where the prisoners were held. There's a church built atop of it now. Back in the day, the first century, it was simply a cellar-like place where those that were going to die would await their capital punishment. Paul was there because he was a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ, if you could imagine. And three times he went before the Roman proconsul seeking his defense, and three times he was rejected, and ultimately Nero took the life of the greatest man perhaps to ever preach the gospel other than Jesus Christ himself. And Paul gives us a testimony about the love of God in these times of trials. In 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 16, he says, at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by my preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. I love that phrase which says, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me. Let's say it together. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me. You see, no matter what you go through, no matter how mistreated you are, if you are saved, you can know this, the Lord is standing with you. You can have the courage that you need to have in witnessing. You can face the sickness with courage, knowing the Lord is standing with you. You are a favored child of God. If God be for us, then who can be against us? The favor of God is a great blessing today. But we only have that favor for one reason. That's because of the forgiveness of God. Let's be honest. I'm not any better than the guy out on the streets of Lancaster today. You and I are no better than anyone else. We're no better than the homeless guy. We're all common today. Sinners is what we have in common. But there's something else we have in common, and that is the forgiveness of God. That is the fact that even though we fell short, God has forgiven us and has raised us up as His sons. And I'm thankful today for the forgiveness of God. And I want you to see it in verse 32. It says, "He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not be with Him also? And freely give us all things." Now notice the gift of the Father. The gift of the Father was His only begotten Son. And sometimes people say to me, well, why doesn't God do anything about all of the sin that's in the world? And I often say, God did something about that sin 2,000 years ago when He sent His Son to bring forgiveness into the world. God did not withhold His Son. No doubt if He favors us, He favored His Son. But look what the Bible says in verse 32. "He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up." He put Him into the hands of those Roman soldiers. He spared not His own sons. What I want you to understand, that the death of Jesus Christ was no accident. It was not something that Jesus stumbled into. The Bible says in Acts 2 and 23, "Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain." In other words, in eternity past, it was the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God that determined that Jesus Christ would come, that He would be born of the Virgin Mary, that He would live a perfectly sinless life in this world, and that He would go upon the cross, and that He would shed His blood on that cross, and that that royal red blood would flow down, and that it would bring forgiveness to the world, and that all who put their faith in Jesus Christ can have their sins cleansed away, because there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. And Jesus Christ came to shed His blood so that we could be forgiven, given and justified, and one day have a home in heaven. He did not withhold His Son from us. But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Not only did He not withhold His Son, but He will not withhold His blessings from us. Did you know that God has many blessings for you? And by the way, how many of you would say, I've already received many blessings from God? Salvation, a Bible, the promise of a home in heaven, Ephesians 2. And in verse 7, it says that in ages to come He might show us the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. You study Ephesians 2 and you realize one day I'm going to step into the golden shore. One day I'm going to be in heaven and I'm going to see Jesus face to face. And I'm going to realize, wow, salvation's a whole lot more than just getting saved. There's a whole lot to this when I ask Jesus Christ to save me. And He justified me. And you see, there's a God in heaven who is righteous. He could not let us as sinners into heaven. There's no way that we deserve heaven. We all fall short of the glory of God. Can I get an amen right there? I don't deserve heaven, but God sent His Son to pay for my sin. I should have died on that cross. I should have suffered on that cross. But Jesus, God's Son, took my place. And when I trust Jesus Christ as Savior, I am justified. And now I can have entrance into heaven, not because I deserve it, but because God is righteous in letting the sinner off because of what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary. He forgave me. And He promises to me many wonderful blessings in high places with Him. Now I want to tell you something. The ticket for your salvation was purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me." And God not only wants to save you, but God helps you with sanctification.
You've been listening to the 15-minute edition of Daily in the Word, featuring the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. If you'd like to connect with Pastor Chappell on Facebook or Twitter, go to paulchappell.com and click on his social media links. We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell serves as a pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message, become a partner in the Word, and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional.
Visit us at paulchapel.com. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.